Back in 2017, in Nogales, Arizona, a group of 25 trucking and logistics company owners met because they were worried. It was because the feds were beginning to enforce regulations that bar them from employing Mexican truck drivers with B-1 visas to haul cargo in the United States. Among them was Jimmy Watson Jr. Long story short, if we don't fix this soon, 100 companies will close in Nogales, he told the Nogales International newspaper. At the time, Watson's dad ran a local trucking company, JSJ Enterprises. A year later, Watson Sr. and another Nogales trucking company owner that was at that meeting would be arrested by agents from Homeland Security Investigations. They were charged with illegally employing Mexican truck drivers and harboring them for profit. From Freight Waves, this is Long Haul Crime Log, a podcast about the dark side of trucking. I'm Noy Mahoney in San Antonio, Texas.
I'm Clarissa Haas in Kansas City, Missouri.
And I'm Nate Tabak in Toronto, Canada. Today on the show, we talk about the rules that determine who can move freight in a commercial truck in the U.S. and who can drive that freight and what happens when those rules get broken. So, Noy, tell us about what's been going on in your world of cross-border trucking. You just wrote a story about that there had been some chatter in the industry there. The people are concerned that there's been abuse of this visa program involving truck drivers from Mexico. What's going on?
Last week I published a story titled "Mexican B-1 Visa Truckers Conducting Illegal Runs in U.S." And the story is based on two sources that I was able to locate. One of them is a trucking company owner based in South Texas, and the other source was a trucking company owner based in Monterrey, Mexico. And both of these guys had similar stories in that companies are abusing the B-1 visa program and employing Mexican truck drivers to deliver loads point to point in the U.S., which is illegal under cabotage regulations.
And so I think it's like cabotage, for those who don't know about cabotage, which I think it's a lot of people, and cabotage refers to the point-to-point transportation of goods or people within the borders of a country. And there are a lot of rules across the world sort of governing cabotage. And the United States is among them. You have them in Canada. You have them in Mexico. And there are a lot of these that are set up to basically to kind of theoretically help ensure that the labor markets are kind of preserved within the countries and not sort of overtaken by, you know, people from abroad. So basically this B-1 visa program, maybe you could explain, like, what exactly does it allow trucking companies to do, and what do truck drivers from Mexico who have B-1 visas, what exactly are they allowed to do with these visas?
B-1 visa is issued by U.S. immigration, you know, ICE. And it's basically a work visa where, like in the case of a Mexico-based truck driver, a Mexican driver with a B-1 visa can pick up a load in, say, Nuevo Laredo, Mexico. That B-1 driver can take that load across the border to Laredo, Texas. That's legal. The driver can either then deadhead back to Mexico or take another load as they are headed directly back to Nuevo Laredo. But they can't, once they deliver that load to Laredo, Texas, they can't go any further into the U.S. But what my source in South Texas, the Texas trucking company owner, said is happening is instead of returning to Mexico, a lot of these B-1 drivers are being hired by U.S. companies to pick up new loads and go further into the U.S., often, you know, taking work for less pay or undercutting what trucking companies would pay American drivers or U.S. drivers, which is illegal.
Why is it that there are people that, you know, in the industry that are worried, are upset that this is happening? Is this like affecting business?
That's absolutely correct. Like the trucking company owner in Texas said, these companies that are illegally employing, you know, Mexican drivers with B-1 visas, there are crashing rates. In other words, they're paying them less than they would pay American drivers under the table. They're paying them under the table too. So these guys aren't paying any kind of taxes. And in his case, it makes it harder for him to hire drivers because, you know, they'll tell him, you know, I can make more money working for this other company that's paying me under the table when this guy's trying to do everything above board and be legal. And so he's losing business that way.
There's two issues, I guess, going on here. Is that one, that in instances where this is apparently happening, you have sort of the people who are legitimately using this program who are being undermined by it. And then there's like the broader issue of, if they're doing domestic moves in the U.S. when they shouldn't be, they're potentially taking freight away from regular U.S. drivers.
That's correct. Like the example he gave me was, you know, he could pay his usual rate to pay a driver to haul a load from Laredo to Los Angeles is $600. But these companies are paying these Mexican drivers half that, you know, $300 to take a load from Laredo to Los Angeles. And so he can't compete with that.
And this has been, I think, a long standing issue in the trucking industry in North America. You know, I've only been covering this industry for a couple of years, but I think, Clarissa, you probably know better than I do that over, it's like this issue of cabotage, whether it's Canadian drivers or Mexican drivers, seems to come up a lot.
This has been an ongoing issue. I've covered the industry for about 15 years, and this has been an ongoing problem. And with, you know, the, you know, kind of complaints about, you know, going past the border zone or where they're allowed to drive, and continuing, you know, point to point, you know, to go take the full load instead of meeting a relay driver at a certain area and then them taking the load on. So, yeah, but it crops up every few years that there's either like a fatal crash involving where maybe a driver that is from like a Mexican domiciled carrier is, you know, driving in the U.S., like in the case of this, where Jimmy Watson's company, one of his drivers was involved in a fatality a few months before the raid. And I wonder if that all of a sudden, I know that they were talking about cracking down, but if that really brought hyper focus on the issue of cabotage.
I think that one of the interesting things about these issues is that they're very, like, there are different rules applying for Mexican drivers and Canadian drivers. So like a Mexican driver, for instance, you need one of these B-1 visas, and then there's sort of the restrictions on whether you operate in this like economic zone or you can go, all the way into the U.S. Canadian drivers, on the other hand, they don't need a special visa to go to the U.S. actually. And they obviously have to abide by certain conditions, and they effectively have the same kind of they have to sort of state what they're doing to the border officer. And obviously they're driving a truck, and there are the same, you know, similar limitations governing what they can do as far as cabotage is concerned. But there is, I think, also over the years in particular, a lot of focus on, because there are far more Canadian drivers coming into the U.S. Than there are Mexican ones, there's also been sort of this issue about like what's going on, once they're in the U.S. And I at least know anecdotally, they're definitely, it is a thing that happens, but I think there's the open question about how often does it happen, and is it actually a problem for the industry? And I don't think anyone has actually been able to answer that. And I think the unfortunate thing is that often when we're talking about, you know, issues of like nationhood and sort of citizenship and all those things, and I say this as a person who's both a citizen of the U.S. and Canada, is that the issues tend to get very emotional, and we always think about how is this, you know, okay, it's this one country harming this other country. But I think that one of the interesting things, you know, I think that you, you know, as pointed out in your story, is that it's actually not just, it's not as simple as, oh, it's like Mexico, you know, oh, this is Mexico or Mexicans that are like, screwing with the U.S. freight market.
Yeah, that's correct. You know, I was able, lucky enough to find a source in Mexico, this trucking company owner in Monterrey, and he told me his side of how it affects, you know, his business and how this situation affects the Mexican trucking industry. And for his company specifically, he owns a trucking company. I think he said he had about 500 trucks. And what happens in, for him is these Mexican drivers know that they, if they can get a B-1 visa, they can get a job with a lot of these U.S. companies that will pay them under the table, you know, and pay them to deliver loads point to point in the U.S. So he's told me he's losing his best drivers constantly to U.S. companies because they know they can go to the U.S. You know, in Mexico, I think he told me the average pay for a truck driver is $1,500 a month, and in they can go to the U.S. and make $4,000, you know, $5,000 a month. So it's a no-brainer for a lot of these drivers. But in his case, he says, you know, I have to try to bring in 30 new recruits every month, you know, and out of those 30 recruits, maybe one driver will turn out to be, you know, a really competent, good driver. And then a few months later, that one driver will go get a job with a Mexican carrier using a B-1, a U.S. carrier, you know, with his B-1 visa. And so he's left with this constant, you know, search for competent drivers.
And how is it actually, you know, enforced, you know, that if someone has a B-1 visa, that they're actually only doing sort of these cross-border loads? Like, who's actually keeping an eye on whether, like, whether the terms of this visa are that they're being abided by?
You know, this is one of the really interesting thing. Cabotage regulation falls under the jurisdiction of both U.S. Customs Border Protection and U.S. you know, Citizenship and Immigration Services. So U.S. Customs and Border Protection enforces the regulation of goods and equipment coming across the border, but immigration enforces the regulation of, you know, the workers. And that's where the gray area starts to come in and the confusion starts to come in. And so, you know, in the case in Arizona, as Clarissa pointed out earlier, it's unclear why all of a sudden they decided to start enforcing this. It may have been because of that trucking accident. According to agents at that time, they said they got a tip from an unnamed source that these two companies in Nogales were breaking, you know, cabotage regulations. And what ended up happening was, you know, Jimmy Watson Sr. was convicted, of unlawful employment of aliens, and he was sentenced to a year of probation, and he had to forfeit two of his trucks. And another trucking company owner, I believe his name was Luis Rivera, of L&R Trucking in Nogales, also pled guilty, and same thing, he was fined $20,000 and had to forfeit two of his trucks. And as far as I know, those are the only two instances of trucking company owners or officials being convicted of charges, you know, related to cabotage regulations. It seems like if it happens more often, it doesn't make the news. But this was definitely one of the big cases that made the news about two guys breaking cabotage regulations.
Well, you know, we were talking about this earlier, and we were looking at the actual, like, the court documents of this. You know, one of the things that stood out is that when you look at the actual facts of the case of what they were charged with and what they pleaded guilty to, it has nothing, you know, they're not really talking about this issue of cabotage. It's really about employment of people who had, you know, illegally entered the U.S. and also that they were, like, harboring them illegally. So it kind of, you know, this issue of the actual cabotage rule, we don't know. It's sort of unclear, you know, how this actually sort of, it was sort of the premise of, I think, how they got arrested and charged in the first place. But from a legal standpoint, the case seems to have ultimately been about sort of the status of these drivers.
And there's multiple agencies and, you know, which one, you know, and in working together, we know how government sometimes works when in one country, but when you're trying to manage like three different countries and different agencies involved and reporting incidents like this, I think it gets really confusing.
Yeah, I think that's probably why you don't see more enforcement of this, you know, cabotage regulation. I think you hit the nail on the head. It involves three countries, three different enforcement agencies, and it just falls into this really gray, murky area.
Well, I think there's also the question of, you know, when is it harmful versus, you know, when is it not harmful? And I think that it's also, I think, important to keep in mind that, like, you know, for people who are, you know, actually the drivers in these kind of situations where, yes, they're brought in because they're making more than they would in their home country. You know, the unfortunate thing is that if bad things happen, maybe your employer has you doing illegal or unsafe things, that you're not really in a position to raise an issue about that, or you may be too scared to, because you know kind of that, unfortunately, if you sort of reveal yourself to have, you know, been sort of in violation of like your visa, you're kind of setting yourself up to not be able to do this ever again.
You've been listening to Long Haul Crime Log from Freight Waves. You can find more episodes by searching for Long Haul Crime Log wherever you get your podcasts, including Apple Podcasts and Spotify. And if you like us, why not subscribe? And maybe even tell your friends about us.
And we're also on Twitter now. Our handle is Long Haul Crime. And anyone out there with a story to share, you can shoot us a line at crime@freightwaves.com. And if you're especially, you know, if you're someone who breaks cabotage rules, we'd love to hear about it. Maybe there are some wild cabotage stories. You never know. But we'd love to hear from you.
Tune in next week for more stories from the dark side of trucking.